All right, thank you, Brother Jacob. Truly it is a privilege to be back at Unity. I've enjoyed the preaching today, that what I got in on, and Brother Johnny and Brother Joe helped me. I thank God, you know, you can get some help if you want it. Amen. So I'm grateful for this meeting. It's been a blessing to me over the years. I've been coming more than a lot of you have been born. I've got ages through the years coming up here, and it's been a blessing. I've always been blessed, and the people's always just gracious, and we thank God for that and for all that you do for us while we're here. All right, tonight, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. I begin reading in verse number 32. Luke chapter 23, verse number 32. If you can stand, if you're able, as we read God's word. And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in the meeting. Thank you for every preacher, missionary, a worker here tonight. And Lord, especially if there's any among us lost, God, I pray the Holy Ghost would grip their soul. They'd realize their need of a Savior tonight to make their way to an old-fashioned altar. And dear God, get born into your family. Lord, I pray tonight for your leadership and your guidance that you'll overrule the imperfections of the message. And Lord, we'll thank you now for what you're going to do, because it is in the name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. You might be seated. Now we're going to look tonight at the road to paradise. We're going to see here that the three men were crucified that day. We see one denied, and one applied, and one supplied. Now we see that Jesus that day, he was not alone, because the religious crowd was there, those spectators, the watchers, the small group of supporters, the Roman soldiers, they were there that day at Calvary. Jesus died a painful death, suffered as no one has ever suffered. But the purpose of Calvary was to open a road to heaven, to open a road to paradise. And when we look at these three men here, we will see the connection of each one of these that had to that road on the day that they hanged there on that cross outside of Jerusalem. In verse number 39, we see that one here he denied. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be thy Christ, save thyself and us. He was a malefactor. He was an evildoer. Many say probably he had part with Barabbas in the insurrection. But now he has been caught. He's been convicted and he's been condemned. There's no hope for him now. He's about to die the way he has lived. He's lived without God. Now he's about to die without God. But even in his pain, as he hanged there, he mocked Jesus. He railed upon him. He said, if he even questioned the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't believe who Jesus was, but he was denying the very one that could give him help. He was denying the very one that could change his destiny. He denied the one that could make all the difference in his life, but he hanged there railing up on the only hope that he had this side of eternity. That's the picture of many today. They are denying the only one that can give them that which they must have to enter into paradise. He said, I am the way. He's the way. He's the truth tonight. There is no other outside of Him. We see that many, they would not mock His name openly, but in their life, in their daily activities, they mock Jesus. But I'm thankful tonight I can go back to the time that I remember that I was in the shape of this old malefactor was there. But thanks be to God, the Holy Ghost convicted me. He made a visit down in Bogalusa, Louisiana. And as I sat there that night, and I went busting up into the preacher's office, and I said, I got to do something. I've gone as far as I can go. I can't take it no more. I'm scared to go to sleep at night. I'm scared to get in the car to go to work. I'm afraid something's going to happen. But you know what I was doing? I was striving to get in that gate. To get in that straight gate. Amen and amen. So there's one that hanged there that denied him. But there was one that was there. He applied. He applied. You know, they were condemned. They were condemned for the crime. Mark speaks about that both of them joined in their railing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But something happened caused this old boy to change his mind. I mean, he seen something or heard something that caused him to change his mind. It might have been when that cross was laying there and they laid him on that cross and they nailed him to that cross and he was like a sheep led to the slaughter. He did not open his mouth. He remained quiet. Or as he hung on the cross, beaten beyond recognition, blood flowing down his body, and they were mocking and jeering and saying, If thou be the Christ, come down, save yourself. That's what they wanted him to get down and save them. Come down. Come down and save yourself. But you know, it might have been when Jesus looked at that crowd and he said, Father, forgive them. Father, they are in ignorance. Forgive them because they know not what they do. Thank God, God answered that prayer and God stayed His wrath that you and I, old heathens, could be brought in. Us old dogs could be brought in and made part of the covenant. Thanks be to God. But you know, this old man, this old boy, he confessed himself a sinner. You know, he said, Here, and we indeed justly, For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. See that other one railing on him. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that are in the same condemnation? So here was a change of mind. There must be repentance if you're going to paradise. See, we've got today that even in the congregation of Baptist churches, they're setting their own standard. They just meet their standard and everything is fine. There must be a change of mind direction. This old boy had a change of mind. He saw himself as he was. And he saw also who Jesus was. He believed who he claimed to be. Now, see, he was fixing to go into eternal damnation. He was fixing to go into hell. But thanks be to God, he realized before it was everlasting too late that he needed help. And he saw the one that could help him. And he applied it to his life. Amen. And it must work that way tonight. Amen. But then there was one that hang between them that supplied. He supplied. On the cross, Jesus reached out in love to that old malefactor. And he was demonstrated why he died. Why he came into this world. Why he shed his precious blood there on Calvary, that you and I might have life eternal with him. It was to stay the wrath of God. It was to postpone that wrath till we could be brought in. Thank God. He satisfied God that day when he hung there on Calvary. When he cried out, it's finished, it's finished. See, Jesus told this man, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say tomorrow or next week. He said today. He didn't have to wait to a future time. He was with the Lord that day. Thou wilt be with me today in paradise. I was reading one day about paradise, and they talked about a walled garden or a park. A walled garden that would be attached to a palace. And it would be walled in, and there would be trees, flowers, shrubbery, fountains in that walled garden. And basically, kings, that's who had those gardens. And they would count it a privilege to be invited to come visit the king and go into his walled garden. And they would call it, that is a blessed day. That's what he was telling this old malefactor. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in my garden. Today thou shalt be with me in a place of blessing. Thank God, thank God. See, thank God there's hope beyond the grave. I may go the way of the grave or go the way of the air, but there's hope. Now, we saw that three died that day at Calvary. One died in his sin. He went to hell. One died to sin. He turned to Jesus and he was saved. One died for sin. He gave his life that you and I might be forgiven. Now, there's two roads in life that you can travel. There is the straight and narrow way, and there's the broad. Look at it in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, if you go in the straight way, you've got to enter in that gate. And by the way, everybody enters into that gate. They've left everything behind. They went in totally alone. A parent could not bring a child. A husband could not bring a wife. You cannot bring relatives or friends. You have to go alone. You cannot bring the world. You cannot bring that old life. If you enter into this gate, you enter in alone and you're willing to leave everything behind. We're living in a day and time that we've got too many other people and not new people. We're living in a time that people are making a statement. They're joining churches and they're just other people. They come to church, they'll sing, they'll pray, they may give a testimony, and they are in religion and they fit right in, but they have never become a new person. Their will has never been given over to God. They've never had a real heart change in their life. And the devil is working today. He's putting tares in churches. Don't you ever think he's the world, the flesh, and the devil is against the cause of Christ. And he's out to do everything he can to numb the cause of Christ. And he's allowing people to come in. And the church is compromised. The seed has been put into the hands of man. And man's watered it down and compromised and fell in love with the world. And the world has come into the church. And we see people today, very few people going through that straight gate anymore. It's just coming into the church. I believe the devil himself could join the average Baptist church. Could come in. We've had folk in church. You could preach on going through the straight gate or sanctification, and they'd get upset. They didn't like it. But they go down to the supermarket and applied for a job. The supermarket had standards. And they met them standards and didn't say a thing in the world about it. And they thought that the supermarket ought to have more standards than the church. No, it's a shame and disgrace on any church that a business out there has got more standards to be a member of the church. It's a privilege to be. And you must go through that straight gate. Why is it straight? Because the wide gate, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And there be which go in, many there be which go in. It is spacious, it's broad. Everybody, I mean, many just going down that broad way. I mean, they carried all their luggage with them. They live like they want, do what they want, act like they want, go where they want. These things, that's walking the broad way. And he says that you must enter in the straight gate, because that word far tells you the reason. For wide is the gate, broad is the way, leadeth to destruction. Many there go in therein. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The word's being preached in many places. Seeds being sowed. But the soil is what's unfavorable. It's not receiving the seed. And we're looking today for so many stony ground hearers. Get them right now. Get them as quick as you can. So you can go to Facebook and get your trophies before the world. I'm persuaded tonight that we must allow the Holy Ghost of God to do the work. He may do it in one night. He may do it in two nights. He may do it in 6 weeks. Or he may do it in 6 months. But when he does it, it's done right. You won't have to hunt them up. They'll be there. They will be faithful because their will and has been surrendered to God, and they're going to do what God would have them to do. But when you just get them in on that stony soil, it's nothing but religion. It just don't work. Just like the mustard seed. It changed from a mustard seed, from a shrub to a tree. Why? Something had to change. Because they were at enmity against each other. World is against. So something has changed. The character of the seed has been the seed's been placed into man's hands. And he's changed it. He's watered it down. And now it's become a tree for the birds to lodge in, the beast to get shade under. And Mark tells us those fowls are the devil. So the road to paradise goes through Calvary that we just sang about. Precious blood. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time today. Lead, guide, and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.